Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
What kind of fire? Holy Ghost fire?
Holy Ghost fire.
Apostolic
fire.
Pentecostal
fire.
Moving. Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pentecostal fire.
Moving. Moving. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. His Holy Ghost fire, His apostolic fire, His Pentecostal fire that's moving in our lives. Amen, amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, it is indeed a blessing to greet each of you on this morning for our first Memorial Day weekend. I leaned over to our executive minister and, well, I told the staff this morning because it's Memorial Day weekend, which means it's get out of town weekend, go somewhere. I don't care if you're going 9 miles away. Just take a break. And so I said, this is our first one, so it'll be interesting to see how it looks for us this Sunday morning. I told our staff, I said, if it's 10,000 of us, if it's 1,000 of us, we're going to worship like it's 10,000. If it's 10 of us, we're going to worship like it is 10,000. And so there is a word from God, and I'm looking forward to sharing it on this Sunday here at Uplift Church. Amen. Amen. If you would do me a favor and let's stand as we turn to Acts chapter number 2. While you're standing, as I do every Sunday, I want to certainly appreciate our amazing, 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 amazing Uplift staff. Listen, if you are a member of Uplift Church and you have yet to join one of our teams, we invite you to do so. It's a phenomenal group of people that literally come in to be uplifting. I certainly thank God for each of them. Amen. This Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So we are in a series called Multiply. We talk about when we give God our little, He can multiply it much. And because this is Pentecost Sunday, I wondered, should I stay just limited within the sermon series, or should I recognize the importance of Pentecost Sunday? And so we want to recognize the importance of Pentecost Sunday because it's transformative in the life of the Christian. I want to share from Acts chapter number 2. Here's what it says. I'm reading just really the first 4 verses. I'm preaching all of Acts chapter 2, but I don't want to read all that to you. You all get tired of standing. It's on the screen as well. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android app, an Apple Watch, Galaxy Watch, whatever, you know, the Word of God comes on now, we invite you to turn Acts chapter number 2. Here's what it says. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is blessed. As you are taking your seat, reach way across this morning and tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, this morning's sermon is moved by the Spirit. Let's try this again, because I know your neighbor is a bit of a distance away from you this morning, so I want you to look at your neighbor, and you may have to throw your voice a little bit and say, neighbor, this morning's sermon is moved by the Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Moved by the Spirit. On last Sunday, we began the series Multiply, where I talked about how to make a flood, or how to start a flood, and that dealt with giving God, in essence, our tithe, our tenth, because with that, the Bible says He was open the floodgates of heaven and forth out a blessing until it overflows. And so we looked at that as we started the series. And so now I want us to look at another way multiplication shows up in the Bible, and that is when the Spirit of God shows up and fills our lives. Amen. I remember I've only been sailing once in my life. Now listen, I want to go sailing again because I was with a cool group of people. These were the well-to-do, affluent people. They just let me in because I knew somebody. And so it was cool because I'm on a sailboat, and in my mind, I owned the sailboat. I mean, the guy who was sailing what it was, he took me down and he showed me all of the inside of the sailboat. There was books in there. He had a kitchen in there. It was a place to sleep in there. And I thought, man, it would be really cool to own a sailboat. What was interesting, though, is that while he was showing me all of this, we were sitting still. We're not moving. It's a sailboat. It's a cool boat, but we were not moving. And then he began to take me up on the deck, and we began to raise the sail. And as we began to raise the sail, he did not have to start an engine. He did not have to put gas in anything. When the wind came, the sail caught the wind and caused the boat to move. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm simply saying that sometimes we get stuck and stagnant in life, and it may very well be because our sail is down and we're not catching the wind, the fire, the apostolic fire, the Holy Ghost fire, the Pentecostal fire. We are not catching it, but in the Word of God, we see that life change can happen, transformation can happen when we catch the Spirit of God. It can propel us into our destiny. I want to share with us what it means to be moved by the Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. Father, once again, I pray now that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that you would move in a major way. Lord God, I pray now that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I will wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Moved by the Spirit. Listen, y'all, on the sailboat, it was really cool because once there was a little wind, the sailboat began to move. Oh, but when the wind picked up, the boat was just doing its thing. All we had to do was drive. And I'm on the boat. I'm taking all kind of pictures. I'm feeling good. Why? Because I saw what it meant to have the wind helping you towards your destiny. And I want to help us understand, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Ghost for us is that wind that God uses to usher us into our destiny. I've got 3 points, and then that'll be out of your way. It's Memorial Day weekend. I know some of y'all have barbecues that you really want to get to, or you're barbecuing. Pastor at upliftmd.com. That's how you can let me know exactly where to go. So I want you all to make sure. I'm pretty sure you were planning to invite me to the barbecue. So. Nevertheless, there's 3 things here that I want us to see. First of all, it's this. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. My first point is this. What happens when the Spirit comes? If you have a sermon insert, you will see some of the information in there as well. What happens when the Spirit comes? So again, it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost in Greek means 50. It's 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so Pentecost literally means 50. But this was unique because on this day, something happened that the world had never seen before. I had a little sermon intro where you saw the video where it talked about or showed them praying, and when they prayed, the Holy Spirit came and rested on the place, and while they were praying in one language, they got so caught up that they began to speak in other tongues, the Bible says. Let me pause here to help somebody out. It does not mean they were running around speaking in tongues every day, all day. I know some people would teach that's not what they were praying. And when they were praying, they got caught up in the spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That is, some people say that kind of language went out with the Bible. I don't believe that. It's simply a heavenly language. And so that's what they began to do. So here's what happens when the spirit comes. The first chapter of Acts tells us about Jesus meeting with the apostles on the Mount of Olives, telling them that they will be witnesses to him to all the world. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. Then Jesus ascends to heaven. And after Jesus ascends to heaven, angels, the Bible talks about two men dressed in white, say to them, listen, y'all, don't worry about it. The one you're looking for, Jesus, he's coming back one day. So they have said their goodbye for now to the greatest leader that the entire world has ever seen. Then they return to Jerusalem, go to an upper room, and they started praying. They paused for a little bit in their prayer meeting to do a little business meeting to elect a new apostle. But for the most part, they were constantly praying. The Bible lets us know it was the apostles and about 120 other men and women that were praying. Let me say this, brothers and sisters, we're talking about multiply. Don't lose sight of that number. It was the apostles and about 120. So in other words, it's about 132 people. Remember that number. It's about 132 people. This was before the Spirit came. I wanted to see how multiplication happens, because I told you before that when God does the adding, it normally works out better for us. So they start off with 132 people. They are praying. All right, y'all got that?
Yeah.
Write the number down. Then their lives now have been turned every which way. They have been up. They have been down. They have known the joy of walking with Jesus and seeing him doing great miracles. They have experienced the hurt of seeing Jesus nailed to a cross and die. They know what it's like to have a sense of loss at the tomb. They've experienced the joy and excitement and even confusion at the resurrection. And after all that, they are now wrestling with continuing on after Jesus has ascended to heaven. So now, here they are all together in the upper room with more questions than they have answers. Who's going to lead us now? What's going to happen to us now? Are we next? Do we keep teaching as Jesus did? That's exactly what got him crucified. Do we do that or hold back from that? What happens if somebody needs to be healed? I mean, Jesus isn't here anymore. How long will it take for him to come back? I mean, can we just stay here till he come back? Is it going to be a little while longer? What did Jesus mean that he was going to give us power? What kind of power? Was it position? Was it money? Where was this power going to come from? Questions, confusions, uncertainties, emotional highs and lows. And in the midst of all of their questions, in the midst of all of their uncertainties, what do? They pray. Brothers and sisters, lean in closer. Whenever you find yourself with more questions than answers, you ought to go to God in prayer. Whenever you find the experiences of life have left you confused, you ought to go to God in prayer. Whenever you are dealing with the emotional highs and lows of life, rather than telling other people your business, who are simply going to tell other people your business, you ought to go to God in prayer. Whenever you have problems that you cannot solve, you ought to go to God in prayer. The Bible says that they went before God in prayer and something happened. How many of you know that something happens when you go before God in prayer? How many of you know that life change happens when you go before God in prayer? How many of you know that breakthroughs happen when you go before God in prayer? How many of you know that healing can happen when you go before God in prayer? How many of you know doors open when you go before God in prayer? While they were in the upper room, the Bible says that suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Just because you go to church, I want you to hear this. Just because you go to church does not mean you've experienced the Holy Spirit. Amen. A whole bunch of people go to church and have been doing it out of routine for many years and have never felt a move of God in their life. They have never felt the Spirit move in their lives. As a matter of fact, some of us can go down memory lane and think of some of the people who know how to do church but have never truly experienced the Holy Spirit. For those of us who want to feel the Holy Spirit, maybe you are tired of coming to church but having no real connection with God. Pastor, how do I get this Holy Spirit? Listen, you don't have to sit on the front row and pray for 5 or 6 hours. It's simply this: ask for it. Yes. Simply pray, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's not heavy, but it is helpful. Jesus told us how in Luke chapter 11 verse 13, Jesus says simply ask for it. Many of us come to church out of routine expecting it to just fall on us, expecting for it just to just show up. I want it to be the goosebumps kind of feeling. No, simply ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Yes. In the upper room, the disciples get filled with the Holy Spirit. And now here's how you know it. I told you some people go to church out of routine. They go to church out of routine, but they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's how we can tell. When the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit, here's what happened. Other people noticed it. Other people noticed it. Now, at the time, Jews from many different nations, they were in town for the Pentecost, which was the festival for the first fruits. It happened 50 days after Passover. It was something that the Jews would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate. And with all the commotion going about in the city, they noticed what happened to the apostles. Let me help us to understand that. With all that was going on in town, they noticed what happened to the apostles. When they heard the sound, a crowd gathered and were amazed at what they saw and heard. They heard them speaking in other tongues. This lets us know that when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, there ought to be something that others can notice. There should be something different about our lives when we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. There should be something different about the way we walk and about the way we talk when we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. What is it about your life that reveals to others that something has happened to you? I remember when I went through basic training in the Air Force. Van, don't say anything. He went to the Army. I was smart, so I went to basic training in the Air Force. And so we had this little bit of a rivalry. I'm sure my basic training was better than Van's. The Army people, they kind of have issue with that. She's Navy. She didn't do much of anything anyway. But look, check it out. All of us can agree with this, though. When you started basic training, you were one person. But when your family came for your graduation and they saw you, the way you walked was different.
Yes, sir.
The way you spoke was different. The way you shook a hand was different. And family members would whisper and say, you know, something changed. Oh, Lord. What the? You were even in shape a little bit more. You looked the best shape in your whole life. Haven't got that back for a long time. But the reality is, something changed when you had an experience at basic training. As a matter of fact, some people had went through basic training 10, 15, 20 years ago, but still can remember how it changed your life even to this day. I'm simply saying this. When the Holy Spirit has come into your life, there ought to be a change that other folk will encounter you and say, wait a minute, something was different about them. They've been going to church Sunday in and Sunday out, but for some reason, this day was unique for them. Something has changed in them. When the Holy Spirit came, others noticed it. Not only did others notice it, some people didn't understand it. I love it. Verse 13 says that people made fun of them They thought they were drunk. Peter says, "Nah, listen, it's too early for that." Other people got confused. They noticed the change in them and tried to give a reason for the change. Well, maybe they're praying more because, you know, their life is falling apart. Well, maybe they're reading their Bible a little bit more because something is wrong with them. Well, maybe they're serving in the church because something is wrong with them. Listen, when the Holy Spirit fills you, other people will notice it and some people won't understand it. As a matter of fact, some people who live in the house with you who have your same last name will never understand how something happened to you. Some people may be sitting next to you in church and never really understand how your life has been changed when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people will laugh at you. They will talk about you. They will say that you are acting holy. Some of your friends will say that you think you are better than they are. "Nah, baby, I just got filled with the Holy Spirit." Some of your family members will say that you've gone crazy. "No, I'm not crazy. I've just experienced the Holy Spirit." Your coworkers will say you're acting weird. "No, I'm not weird. I just know I've been filled with the Holy Spirit." When the Holy Spirit comes in, you ought to be able to tell people, "I have been changed. I've been healed. I've been freed. I've been delivered. I found joy. I found peace. I found love. I found grace. I found favor. Since the Holy Spirit has come in my life, I don't go where I used to go. I don't do what I used to do. I don't say what I used to say. God has changed me." When the Holy Spirit came in, it filled the apostles. Other people noticed it. And some of them did not understand it. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill you, simply ask for it. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there ought to be a change that other people can notice in your life. And some people won't understand it. Okay, not only do we see what happens when the Holy Spirit comes, that's point one. Our second point is this. We see a need to explain our change. We see a need to explain our change. The people did not understand what happened to the apostles. Some say that they were just plain old crazy. Others say that the apostles had turned up. So Peter steps up and gives an explanation to the crowd as to what they were seeing. It wasn't a club experience. It was not that we lost our mind. Listen, it's not enough just to shout on Sunday. As a pastor, as a preacher, I know certain cues that can make us shout. Let me see if I can help us understand some of the cues that can make us shout. It's your season. Every season is your season. I never heard a preacher stand up and say, "This is not your season." I've never heard that. Every season is your season. The popular thing out there, in 39 days, the house you've been... I can do that. I know the cues to get people to respond. But my brothers and my sisters, it's not enough just to shout with no substance. I mean, I love a good shout. I'm a Baptist preacher by nature, and so I like some call and response, say amen every now and then. But when you shout with no substance, we have a problem. When people tell you that you ought to stop your shouting, that can make you stop, then it's not something that has substance. Oh, but when you've experienced the Holy Spirit, your shout comes from something that happened in your life. When you know that it was God that saved you when you should have and could have lost your mind, I don't care what other people say, I've got to shout just to say, "God, I thank you." When the doctor sent me for test after test and couldn't understand what was wrong with me, but God fixed it, I've got a reason for my shout. When I was trapped in a lifestyle and I could not get out of it, and God showed up and pulled me out, I've got a reason for my shout. When my child was strung out on drugs and I didn't know how to save them, but God rescued them, I've got a reason for my shout. There ought to be some explanation behind your celebration. Why do we shout? Brothers and sisters, if you ever experienced God moving in your life, just wave your hand and say, "I got a reason for my shout. If you know that God saved you from a lifestyle, I've got a reason for my shout. If you know God has opened doors for you, I've got a reason for my shout. If he's healed your body, I've got a reason for my shout. If he's put money in the bank that you wasn't expecting, I've got a reason for my shout. If he put food on the table, I've got a reason for my shout. There ought to be an explanation behind the celebration. What we see Peter do in the text is Peter stands up and he says, first of all, it's too early to be drunk. I'm going to leave that alone, but that's what Peter said in the text. And so then he says, this is what's happening. You are seeing a fulfillment of prophecy. He explained to them what Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Now, this is a major statement, and here's why. In the Old Testament, prophetic utterances were associated with the Spirit of God coming for a particular purpose and to a particular leader. In the Old Testament, prophetic utterances were associated with the Spirit of God. It came and it rested on a particular person for a particular purpose. But at this time in Judaism, they believe that whole Holy Spirit resting on people that went out with the Old Testament or with the prophets. In other words, in our Bibles, it would have been gone out with Malachi. After Malachi, there was no more Holy Spirit coming and resting. And so they didn't believe that happened anymore. Some people still believe that. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit is real. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit rests on people. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit fills people. That's what they believe then. And so they also believe that at the coming time of the Messiah, there would be a special outpouring of God's Spirit. Okay, that may have been a little bit too deep, so let me break it down. Peter is saying this. Look, what you are seeing before your eyes is God keeping his word. Peter gives them the substance behind what they see. Okay, let me see if I can help us understand that. There ought to be some substance behind it. You ought to be able to explain it. When I was in the military, I can remember I was single and I was in the military. So that meant I had like good benefits and health insurance and I had a good job. And I had some level of intellect. So that means I had a lot of people who were interested in me. But I'm Southern. I'm Southern, and I like good food. I'm Southern. I like good food. I got good benefits, and I had a whole bunch of people who were interested in me. I'm Southern, and I like good food. And so one of my questions would be this. Can you cook? Yeah, I can cook. Okay. Let me try a better way. I mean, can you really cook? Brothers, if you have someone who tells you I can cook, it's not enough just to show up when the food is done. I need to see some substance behind the actions. There are some men who've been hoodwinked. One of my friends had this experience. He used to date this young lady. And he would go by her place and she would have great food. And, you know, old folks say the way to a man's heart through his stomach, and so she had great food. Oh, I'm talking about fried chicken, pork chops, collard green, mashed taters. Not potatoes, taters. That, it was some real good food. Brother married his sister. And I remember he called me, he told me, he said, man, she used to cook. Ooh, she used to cook. I said, yeah, she still don't. He said, nah, that was her mama fixing all that food. Her mother knew how to do it. Brothers and sisters, there ought to be an explanation behind it. If you're dating a brother and he has a nice car, I mean, it's a very nice car, but he doesn't have a job. Houston, we may have a problem. Help me understand how you drive a Maybach, but you have no money to put gas in the Maybach. I need to know some substance behind it. You ought to be able to explain to somebody that God has changed your life. Let me help us with a few examples of this. One of our favorite preachers down in Texas, he describes this story of a woman in his church, and then I'm going to describe a story from a woman in Mount Carmel. We have one of the Mount Carmel members here. My home church. Here it is. He said in his church, he has 7,000 people in his church. They are well-to-do people in his church. I mean, the affluent people go to his church, the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, they're all in his church, and they like to have a nice conservative church. But there is one sister in his church
He says, this sister, she shouts for the wrong.